Bow our heads in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again we come before you. And we ask, Lord, that as we meditate upon your word, you will speak to each of our hearts and our lives, O God, that we may see what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture lesson for today, I have chosen to take out of Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 10. And the reason why I've done this is we're having Harvest Fest in both the churches in this parish. Next Sunday is New Orleans, and 2 weeks from now is the one here in Roseau. And I was asked if I could speak a little bit on stewardship. And I said I would do that before you have your Harvest Fest or in-gathering. And so I thought it's best if I do it before we have it in either church, and I chose to do it then today. And we still will have communion afterwards and along with our regular service. So let us turn to Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 10, and stand at the reading of God's holy word. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. These are powerful words, and they are strong words in which we look at and wonder, what are you talking about, Lord? If we were to go back into the Old Testament, we would find that in Leviticus, God started the tithes and offerings. And the tithes was 10% of the first fruits of everything. And that 10% came into the temple, and it was to feed the Levites because they were the priests of God. They did not receive an inheritance of land, so they had no way in which to support themselves when they had come out of Egypt. And they were given then the duty to be the priests of the whole Israel nation. And so this 10% came in to feed them and to help them live. Then beyond that, they had a temple tax, and they had offerings for special days and special occasions. And if you would add it all up, you would find it comes out to about 27% of their gross income or their gross intake of whatever they were harvesting or living on in that day. And there they took care of also the widows and the orphans of the community or of their church and their area. And before we really get into a lot of this, I want to stop for a moment and talk a little bit about the AFLC, the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations, in which we are a part of. First, we believe that the local congregation is a separate entity in and of itself and is a form of God here on earth. We have a separate congregation. We can call our own ministers. We can basically do most what we want to or we feel God is leading us to do locally. And by doing this, we don't have to obey or listen to the headquarters at all. They can give us direction. They can give us their thoughts on certain things, but they cannot force you as a local congregation to do anything they tell you unless you want to. We merge together as many congregations or as many churches so that we have the AFLC's headquarters is somewhat, if you'd want to call it, a clearinghouse. It's a way in which we can pool our resources, and in those resources we send out missionaries, we have Bible schools, we have the seminary in which we train our pastors and stuff that are called out into the local congregations. We have many different areas of missions. We have it in Mexico. We have it in up in Alaska. We have it in South America. We have it in Africa and India and other parts of the world that are starting up and wanting us to join them. We also help the Eastern European Network Missions, which was started by Don Richmond of our AFLC some years ago, and many of our ministers will go over and serve in Eastern Europe and throughout Russia and some of these other countries, trying to proclaim the Word of God and to spread His message to them also. So we see too that if we go into the breakdown, if you want to call it, of the AFLC, we see in world missions they normally, not all the time, but normally will take 10% of any benevolences given to them in world missions, and that would cover the administrative costs, cover advertising, and cover where they're starting new mission work. And all the other monies would go, if it's designated to a certain missionary, it goes to that missionary. If, we'll use Paul Abel as an example, if he needed $2,000 in October and he received $3,000, $1,000 of it would go into what they call a savings fund for later if he did not receive what he needed for that month. The money is not spent except to where it is designated. If it's not designated, then they use it for supporting other missionaries or to be starting new work. And the home missions, some of the other missions, home missions would take care of Alaska. Those are all under the general fund. And the general fund then takes in all of this monies and they support all of these starting out new congregations within the United States as well as up in Alaska and stuff like this. If and 100% of home missions money goes to the churches that it's designated for, if it's designated to a certain project. Otherwise, it goes into the general fund, and the general fund then sponsors home missions and is working in that way there. Your schools is separate from your general fund, and that money is designated strictly for schools. And I think it was last Sunday or maybe 2-3 weeks ago where I talked about this farmer who had given all of their money to the seminary and Bible school. And so when he died, he had very little left of his own, except he had enough to live on, and that's all he felt, him and his wife felt they needed. They didn't need big savings accounts and so forth, so they never had it, although their family didn't realize it during their lifetime. And then the seminary, of course, brings out your missionaries. Not only your missionaries, it brings out your pastors to serve the congregations where they're needed and called and so forth. And at this time, I would ask, is there any questions about the AFLC's workings or any questions at all in that area, feel free to ask. I'll see if I can answer them. Everybody knows then. Being there's no questions. Okay, that's fine. But if you do have any questions, don't feel that you can't ask them, because you can. Benevolences is a fund then for your missionaries and so forth. Or benevolences, if you're giving it through your local congregation, can go to any of the different works of the AFLC. And they depend solely and strictly on the giving of each congregation or each individual. Okay, so much for that then. We will go on with our text. For I am the Lord and I do not change, God told the Israelites through Malachi. And he says, because I don't change, you have not been consumed. If I changed, I would have consumed you and you would have all been dead. And we look back into Lamentations, and there God tells us, you know, his mercy is new every morning. And because his mercy is new every day, we are not consumed. And because his mercy is new every day, we can come to him and we can take and worship him in all things and then keep on asking. You know, Jesus told the Pharisees of his day, he says, you know, you do your tithes and your offerings, and you forget the weightier matters that's going on. In plain words, what he was telling them was they want their tithes and their offerings, and then they forget to take care of the widows and the orphans and the other things which they should do, because this is showing God's love throughout their work. And then he tells us too, you know, he says, you know, if you call upon me, I will be there to answer you. And if you ask, I will give to you, if you're asking to proclaim and to spread your gospel far and wide. And you know, if you've taken and prayed for certain things throughout your life, and you say, Lord, I need your help in showing these people or certain ones what you want of them, God will show it to you. And sometimes he will even give you things way beyond what you ask, and you will be able to then proclaim his name and his word throughout the community and throughout the world. We find that stewardship in and of itself requires that we exercise responsibility. Responsibility takes in a big area, and it shows that we should care, that our mind and our heart and our soul is first on what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to do, that we do not have any idols before God himself, and that everything goes through what Christ wants us to do, and that he leads us in the ways in which we work, in the ways in which we do business, and in the ways in which we handle those round about us. If we see that we have a certain area and we claim to be Christians, and we have what we call the grumble corner, and maybe some of you have heard this poem, and I have it, but I'm not going to read it today, but the man grumbled about everything. Nothing was right. And so they called his home a grumble corner. And it was in this corner that anybody passed, if they talked to him, everything was wrong. And then one day that man accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And when people started seeing him and seeing the change in him, it became the happy corner, because he showed Christ in all that he said or did, and how he greeted people. And he was willing to do things for him, not only for himself, but for the Lord. We see that serving Christ is the responsibility of us all, and that we are to protect those under our care, whether it's our family, whether it's our church, or whether it's our area. We are to protect them through Christ Jesus, that they know and that they see that God is working through you and coming out to them as you are members and friends of the community and of your home and of your church. In Psalm 24:1, we would read that the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. And that tells us only one thing, that there is nothing, nothing at all in this world that belongs to us. It all belongs to God because He created it and because He is the one that has given it to us. And so then we see so very plainly that we own none of it, but that He has given it to us to use, and that we are to then, in turn, give Him a portion of it back. If we were to look back at Cain and Abel, we would find that Abel brought the first fruits of his animals, the fat ones of his animals, the best, and he sacrificed them unto God. And Cain brought, it says, of his grain. He was a grain farmer, and there's nothing wrong with that. He brought his grain in, but he did not necessarily bring of the first fruits as God wants them to do, and he did not necessarily bring of the best. And so his offering was not received by God, and he asked Cain, "Why are you so sad in your countenance? If you had brought the first fruits and the best, it would have been accepted. But because you didn't do it," you know, it would be like if you go out in the granary, the farmer, and he just grabs a bushel of wheat or corn or whatever and brings it in, and he doesn't care what it looks like. And then for us at work, it's that we come to church and we give of our tithes or of our offerings, and we give what's left over. This is what God is saying: you have robbed me. And he's telling the Israelites the same thing here. He says, you have robbed me because you're only giving me the leftovers. You're bringing in the lambs and stuff for sacrifice that are lame, not the good and the first fruits. And you know, God started the tithes and offerings back in Leviticus to support the people, the Levites or the priests of that day. And he tells us in Leviticus 27:30, "And all the tithes of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's, and it is holy to the Lord." It's to be blessed. And it's one God would be proud to have you bring in. So we see that the taxes or the tithes of the offerings was 10% of the first offerings, 10% of your gross, if you wanted to call it that way. That's the way I see it. And if we take and go back through all the offerings and tithes that they had back in that time, it comes to around 27% of your gross income. And we don't see that so much today. And we see in the New Testament where Jesus only talked once about tithes and offerings, and that's when he told the Sadducees and Pharisees, you know, you do your tithes and your offerings, but you forget the weightier matters, and that's taking care of those that are hurting in your community, for failure to take care of the widows and the orphans and the need for those in your country and in your area. And God, as he's speaking, he says, "I am the Lord, therefore you are not consumed." And he's telling us that even today. And then we see also in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7, which I really enjoy these verses when we talk about stewardship. And it says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully," or with blessings, will also reap bountifully with blessings. So let each one of you give as he purposes in his heart. And you know, God has told us that don't make a covenant with me unless you plan on keeping it. If you took and you says, Lord, I'm going to give you $100 a week in offerings every Sunday, and you don't keep it, he says that's worse than if you never made a covenant. It's better not to make the covenant than to make it and not keep it. And so finishing this purpose off here, he says, let so each one give as he proposes in his heart, not grudgingly and not of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So if you're doing it and you're saying, Lord, you have blessed me beyond measure, and I will return to you a portion of this, and I'm not doing it because I have to, but I'm doing it because I want to. I want to see your word go forward. I want to see your work go forward. I want to see the blessings that you have. Give these people that need it. You know, if we were to go back and we look at R.G. Letourneau, he made the turnipoles and the earth-moving machines. And when he was a believer in Christ, and he, at one time before he died, he was giving 90% of his gross income to the work of the Lord. Not necessarily his church only, but to the work of the Lord. And he was living on 10% because he says, I have made so much that I don't need it, and I will give it to the Lord from whence it came in the first place. What a tremendous blessing that was for the people that received his donations or his benevolent giving. He was not robbing God, but he was going out and seeing what he could do to further God's kingdom. And you see, there is more to stewardship than just financial giving. We know that the Christian stewardship is God in our lives. And how do we then portray that? Do we do it not only by giving, but the talents that he has given us? We see that our time is given to him. We see that not only our talents, but our mind and our body has to be given to him to show the blessings that he has given us. And yes, we may have sickness in our bodies because we are living in a sinful world. And we have sin because we're in the sinful world. We see many sicknesses and diseases within our body. But our spirit is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are blessing him for all things that happens in our lives. And that we see in stewardship, we not only have church attendance, but we have Bible study. We have devotions at home. We have prayer. If there's prayer meetings, we take part in communion. And we have, excuse me, we have to remember in communion, God has told us. And we're told that if we take communion and we don't believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're heaping coals of fire on our own head. But that if we take communion because we have Christ as our Lord and we're not holding grudges against the people, and we are right with the Lord, he will bless us and pour out the blessings upon us. And so he warns us on taking communion in and of itself that we must take and see that we are right with Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And that would be in time, body, mind. Our personality. Are we such that people don't want to talk to us? Because they're afraid we're going to try and buttonhole them, or we're going to try and degrade them all the time? Or are we ones that will try and uplift them and encourage them and give them encouragement because they may be depressed themselves and that they need encouragement each step of the way? And sometimes we may be hurting and people have to give us the same thing. We are not saved because of our good works, We are saved because Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. And we're saved because Christ shed his blood on the cross and it ran down that cross and it covers our sin. And it says that Christ died for the sins of many because they will believe on him. And they have accepted what God has done through Jesus on the cross. And Jesus says, ask and it will be given unto you. Pressed down, good measure, running over, because our hearts and our minds and our personalities and all of our talents are to serve Jesus Christ. And we can look at King David and how many things he had done wrong, and yet he would repent and come back to God and say, Lord, you know, I will uphold your statutes and I will uphold your law, because you are the one that can save us and nobody else. So we find then in worship we have talents. We have stewardship. In worship we worship in faith. We worship in spirit. And we worship in truth the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, Jesus told us that when he talked to the Samaritan woman, you know, the time will come and we worship God in spirit and in truth. We pray that we will remain faithful for life, doing God's will in our lives, and that through this prayer that God has first place and that he has sent his Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in all things, to proclaim him first and foremost, not ourselves. And in giving, we know we give of our tithes and our offerings. We give of our talents and of our personalities. And we give everything we have to serve Jesus Christ and him alone, because we belong to God. And God died for us, and he gave his only begotten Son, that we in turn, believing in him and having faith in him, we will be saved too. And then we're willing to be witnesses for him, and we're willing to be witnesses wherever he sends us and whatever condition we're in. And have you at times come up and maybe you're driving the car and you come up behind a slow driver, and I have to say this even for myself, and you'll say, what in the world is that person trying to do? You know, why don't they just get off the road and let me through, you know? And it's so easy to think that. And yet, maybe God put that person there to slow you down and make you think, you know, is life, do you really have to go through life that fast, that you can't take time and have a little bit of patience for those who may not be quite as agile as you are, or as good at doing things as you are. And sometimes our impatience seems to want to take over. And we see that witnessing then could be wrong when we take and want to make it our way and not God's way. In Daniel 12:3, it tells us, they that turn many to their righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and forever. And you know, regardless of what you have to go through in this world, if you have been righteous and your stewardship has been good and you have lived for the Lord and the Lord has blessed you and lived through you to reach out to those round about you, you will shine as the stars forever and forever. It's a wonderful, wonderful blessing to be able to know that we are in God's hands and in God's care. And as we stand by to do God's work, God stands by and he's ready to bless us. And he's ready to let us go forward in faith as we proclaim God's grace and as we proclaim God's will in our lives. Let us together go forward as a congregation as well as individuals, that we do God's will and that his stewardship in us will be proclaimed as worthy to his holiness. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be with us, watch over us, and keep us I pray in your holy name. Amen. Now we can turn to 423.